This is Ben Craven from bencraven.com, and you're listening to the Yes Music Podcast. Welcome to this very special episode of the Yes Music Podcast. I'm your host, Kevin Mulrine. I've been overwhelmed by the response to my request for listeners to nominate their Yes Music Champagne Moments, the places in the music which reminds you why you listen to Yes. Two listeners have even recorded their contributions as audio files, and so without further ado, here are Liam Barnes's Champagne Moments.
Hi Kevin, it's Liam from Mancunian Matters here, just giving my Champagne Moments of Yes to you. I do think that Champagne Moments is a very apt title for a run-through of the best bits of Yes. I think the truly great moments in the band are when everything all comes together as one, and you know, all these sort of disparate elements, all this sort of virtuosic skill in different musical themes, they all running through a song, all of it just sort of unites into one great big release, really. These are the moments that sort of stick in your head the most and will draw you into Yes, certainly did with me. And every time you listen to it, every time you always hear something new in the build-up, and then just everything rising and all this anticipation, it shows everything that's so brilliant about the band, really. I suppose with that sort of description, I mean, my Champagne Moments are going to be in more of the longer songs, crowning glories, if you like, to sort of painstakingly built up arrangement. And I think even though songs like Going for the One and Long Distance Runaround among my favourite Yes tracks, I'd say that my Champagne Moments will come from the more epic songs of the classic Yes period, if you like. I suppose some of mine will be familiar to many other Yes fans. I mean, for instance, when Steve Howe's guitar comes in with a theme of a Close to the Edge, or the finale to Siberian Cat Tree, or you know, the soaring end to Heart of the Sunrise, just about from the final chorus. But some of my favourite moments might be a little more unusual. I mean, for example, I've always been a big fan of Machine Messiah from Drama, which is a bit of a controversial album for some fans, but just that huge sort of Sabbath-like riff it almost is, and some brilliant keyboards from Jeff Downes. It's such a powerful opening, and then when it all comes together in the ending and everything reunites, it's dramatic, I suppose. It was a really good start for an album that I think I, like many, approached with quite a lot of trepidation, considering the lack of John Anderson. Similarly, To Be Over, which, Relayer, I think, comes in for some deserved criticism in some ways. It can be a bit difficult to listen to at times, but To Be Over is just such a brilliant song. I mean, that the intro is just magical, and when it comes back at the end, when it slows back down, it gets into this nice sort of almost a plaintive thing. It's a brilliant ending. It's just one of those moments that salvages the album as much as sort of certainly makes it worth a lot of re-listens. It sort of goes over a bit of a difficult sort of first three quarters, if you like. But I suppose with considering a favourite of favourites, if you like, I'd probably say there's two for me with Yes. One again's a bit odd, and one is much more in line with popular opinion. I'd say that the first one comes from The Remembering, which is from I feel is a bit unfairly criticised, Tales from Topographic Oceans. I mean, if any one album's about long passages building up to a huge release, it's this, and I suppose it's difficulty to get into almost encapsulates the best of Yes. I mean, it's quite controversial in a wider music sense to announce yourself as a prog rock fan, so in some ways it's a very typical Yes album. But just the remembering, I do think, is by far the best part of that controversial 80-minute long double album, and particularly the bits, just when the lines are, you know, and I do think, or I do feel very well, just when everything sort of swirls into it, and then there's all this rising soundscapes after it. So it's a really sort of, it has that mystical element that I think they were going for with much of the Shastric leanings, and just the instrumentation is just brilliant. It's one of those when every element of the band is all coming together. But if there's, I suppose if there's one moment I did have to choose, and I wouldn't hesitate to choose this one, it's Yours Is No Disgrace, which has always been my favourite Yes song, and particularly the part just as they just as it slows down for the final time at, you know, around the 7-minute mark, and the Tony Kaye's organ just sets this scene with a wonderful little line there, and then John Anderson comes in, you've got Steve Howe on acoustic, sort of loping bass from Chris Squire coming, and then it all rises, it all builds slowly back into the chorus. Suddenly, you know, that repetition of the silly human race line that always gets me every time, and then once the chorus is over, back into full power mode for another last rock out, I suppose you could call it. It's just everything that's brilliant about Yes, and I can listen to that, you know, a ridiculous number of times, and I probably will now that I've been talking about it. But yeah, I hope that hope that's good for you, and thanks for all the shows, and cheers.
Thanks so much for that, Liam. I couldn't agree more with what you said about the elements of Yes coming together to produce champagne moments. It's definitely the coalescing of the talents of the individual members of the band which creates the magic. As the old expression goes, the result is much bigger than the sum of the parts. Liam mentions that Yours Is No Disgrace from the Yes album is his favourite Yes song, and someone else who shares his passion for this track and this album is Peter Flint. Here's how he puts it in an email. I've decided to take your use of the word moment fairly literally and pick some tiny bits of Yes music, which gave me a shiver pretty much every time I heard them. Yours Is No Disgrace, obviously, still my favourite Yes song 40 years on. The bit at 54 seconds, when Steve starts playing the repeated guitar figure above Tony Kaye's blurting Hammond, gets me every time. Starship Trooper, the intro. By now I've listened to the Yes album so many times that I can count 2, 3, 4 from Bill's little snare figure on the fade-out of the clap, and know exactly when Starship Trooper is going to start. Perpetual Change. At about 6 minutes 27, when everything comes back together for the final chorus after the chaos. Okay, so there are two themes developing here. Obviously, I love the Yes album. MJ Murphy also nominated two champagne moments from the Yes album like this. In Yours Is No Disgrace at 8 minutes, when Steve Howe launches the last verse/chorus section with that amazing wah-drenched guitar riff. Peter Flint also shares with Liam Barnes an appreciation for the times where the music comes together. He puts it like this. But I also like the bits of Yes where chaos is resolved into order. Heart of the Sunrise, the final chorus from about 9 minutes 32 onwards, especially Rick's synth, which comes in around 9:54 and plays a spine-tingling descent line above the vocals to the end of the chorus. America. I'm pretty sure they played this the first time I saw them at Crystal Palace in 1971. I wasn't really much of a fan before then. My favourite moment is at 1 minute 43, where Chris plays the tune from Leonard Bernstein's America on the bass. Different song, same name. Siberian Katru at 7 minutes and 1 second, where they do the tricky stops. I'm sad enough to be proud about having learned that bit off by heart in case a Yes tribute band ever needs a drummer. Peter also mentions the Gates of Delirium at 16 minutes and 8 seconds, another order out of chaos moment leading to the beautiful final movement of the song. And I find myself agreeing wholeheartedly with Peter. Let us know if you do as well. MJ Murphy also mentions a moment from the classic main sequence period of the band, in this case from Fragile. It's the whole of Mood for a Day, which Mike tells us is the reason he plays classical guitar. Surely there's no finer tribute to the world's greatest progressive rock band than this. But Mike Murphy isn't the only one to be influenced in this way. Here's Mark Toner. I have many champagne moments, but the best is that wonderful 12-string introduction to And You and I, and then the whole piece. It never fails to send shivers up my spine and is a high point in every show. I bought a 12-string guitar just to play that piece. Had to write some of my own to justify the expense. The original recording was played by Steve on Chris's old Hondo guitar. He introduced Steve to 12-string playing. If you look at Chris's hands, you'll see that he's not built for mere 6-string instruments. Bass and 12-string for him. And this set me off wondering, I wonder how many other Yes fans have been moved to take up instruments. If you have, then please get in touch. Herbert Raphael also gives us a very personal story. He says, I have many champagne moments with Yes music, but the most beautiful was when I got a college job in the florist. Studying some bryophytes, I turned on my cell phone and started to play Close to the Edge. It was awesome to have listened to that intro and seen the sunshine above the trees. Andy got in touch. He chooses champagne moments from this album as well. He writes, the two moments I'd like to nominate are both from Close to the Edge. First, in the track Close to the Edge itself, is after 8 minutes and is 30 seconds of magic from Howe, Squire and Wakeman. The short repeated guitar and duplicating bass riff is accompanied by keyboard counterpoint. It's a simple piece but so well done and serves as a bridge to Seasons of Man. Fantastic. The second is similar in a way. In And You and I, after about 6 minutes, Steve repeats the opening guitar passage, but after a few bars goes into a new chord sequence. And what feels like a change of key, don't know if it is, strictly speaking. Again, joined by Rick with a great melody, it intros the preacher-teacher section, yet more brilliance. The cryptic lyric has no right to work at all, but it does, perfectly. Genius. Peter Flint also includes live champagne moments like this one, where we are back again to And You and I, but this time the Yes Songs version. Peter says, at about 4 minutes 26, there's a lovely bit where Steve is getting higher and higher up the neck of the pedal steel and seems to have nowhere else to go, but Rick rescues him with a lovely Moog flourish, which brings us back to earth, ready for John's vocal. Someone else who focuses on the live performances of the band is Michael Williams. In fact, he has nominated several YouTube videos, which I will put the links to in the show notes. It seems that Michael is one of those fortunate people who are present at key champagne moments. Here's what he says. June 12, 1976, JFK Stadium, Philadelphia. 115,000, I assume that's the number in the audience. Poussette Dart Band, Gary Wright, Peter Frampton, Yes. Now there's a lineup I wouldn't have minded seeing. His first YouTube link is to some remarkable Super 8 silent footage of the concert featuring the Roger Dean Crab Nebula stage design. Michael says that fires were set during Ritual, but there's no film of that event. He goes on to add YouTube clips of Ritual, And You and I again, Song of Innocence from Alan White's solo album Ramshackled, I think, and The Gates of Delirium with Patrick Mraz on keyboards. There's quite a bit of amazing footage there, so please do stop by the show notes to see why Michael has nominated these. They all feature John Anderson, and as Michael puts it, boy do I miss him. All these shows were from the 1970s, and here's Peter Flint again on the genre-defining album Tales from Topographic Oceans. He nominates Ritual and says, now I'm definitely one of those people who thinks that Tales would have made a great single CD if it had come out a few years later. There seem to be a few bits put in there to pad it out to a double LP length. But it's the way they come out of one of the slightly awkward bits, which I love the best. At 16 minutes 54, Steve's guitar soars out of the maelstrom of percussion and keyboards to bring us back to a beautiful place. Order out of chaos again, and we're on our way home. A couple of you sent in an eclectic mix of champagne moments. Here's prog rock superstar himself, Ben Craven's selection. Firstly, the Cycle of Fifths finale of Awaken, and then Send, Ascending to the Future from Homeworld, the joyous first couple of minutes of Miracle of Life, Chris's non-stop bass solo on Hold Out Your Hand, Billy's tour de force at his new state of mind, the rapid chord change trademarks in Future Times / Rejoice, Does It Really Happen and The Calling. He could go on, he says. Later, Ben returned And in response to MG Murphy said, "Speaking of going for the one, I agree the bass line is something special, and Chris's natural vocal harmonies draw me in every time. Somebody else once said it, but the man was born to sing harmonies." I hope I'm pronouncing his name correctly. Paul Caruana got in touch and nominated these. The three-part harmony on Starship Trooper in the follow section. The doo-doo vocal harmony on South Side of the Sky. Lots of bits on Turn of the Century, but most probably where it builds up with Now Rowan. All great suggestions, Paul. And here's the rest of MJ Murphy's selections. Responding to Ben Craven, he says, "Yes, champagne moments are so frequently snippets that add up to a whole, but I'll give this a shot. Roundabout from the Fragile album, every bit of it. The chorus of Heart of the Sunrise on the live Yes songs, especially when the band ups the energy level on the sharp Distance. The entire Close to the Edge album, but especially the I Get Up, I Get Down section, and the vocal arrangement at 10 minutes and 9 seconds that begins with In Her White Lace and builds up to the creepy Rick Wakeman organ chords. In Tales from Topographic Oceans, he mentions Giants Under the Sun. After nearly 6 minutes of manic dissonance, Steve Howe launches into a classically inspired guitar solo and is joined by John Anderson, who sings Do the Leaves of Green Stay Greener? He says, as I pointed out in the podcast, the melodies here seem to have been a reward for our patience. Then he goes on to mention the lyrics, the pedal steel guitar and bass line of Going for the One, and Steve Howe's acoustic guitar part on Magical from Tormato, over a relentless harpsichord line, especially the solos and fills. He mentions Wondrous Stories from the live Yes Shows album again, mainly for Chris Squire's awesome bass sound. And he says, of course, Don't Kill the Whale, best all-round Yes tune ever, after Roundabout. He says he's surely left out many others, but these are definitely some of his favourite moments. And thanks so much, Mike, there's plenty to get our teeth into there. I must also mention my son William, who has begun his Yes journey, through being bombarded with classic tracks in the car and just about everywhere else. He singles out the whole of the track Leave It on 90125. From personal experience in the car, he also likes the a cappella version of the song, which is a bonus track on the remastered and expanded CD. Trevor Horn helps the band produce an unmistakable and unique sound quality here, and throughout the album. So there have been some fantastic moments mentioned, and we are approaching the end of suggestions. Peter Flint finishes his email like this. "Well, there are a few of my champagne moments from my years listening to Yes. One day I must tell you about the time I found out that they weren't the same band as Crosby, Stills, Nash and Young." That certainly would be an intriguing tale, Peter. However, I'll leave the final word in this short exploration of Yes Music Champagne moments to Joost Maglev, who has kindly made two versions of his contribution. I was unfortunately unable to use the first one because it included very well chosen excerpts of Yes music. However, I have added a link in the show notes to Joost's original file. Please go and listen to it in full. So here's Joost.
"Hi, this is Joost Maglev. I'm a musician from the Netherlands. My Yes champagne moments include the beautiful instrumental piece In the Middle of And You and I, where Steve Howe's steel guitar interacts with Rick Wakeman's keyboards. Since 1991, Yes have been playing this part really slow, and that sounds awesome to me. Also, the beautiful finale to Awaken, where it's all organs and choir galore, is one of my favorite moments. If you want to listen to these moments from the 1991 Union Tour and hear my view on them, check out the liner notes that Kevin includes with this podcast."
So it's thanks to Joost, and thanks so much to everyone who's taken the time to contribute to this episode of the Yes Music Podcast. It's been a fantastic way to bring 2011 to a close. Early in 2012, I will be returning to the studio albums, and I'll also be recording an episode to begin the new year, in which I'll let you know about my plans for the podcast. So before I go, here's a final thank you to all the listeners who took part, and how you can hook up with them yourself. Find the talented photographer William Mulrine on Twitter, at William_Mulrine. Michael Williams is at The Weems on Twitter, that's WEAMS. Look out for Joost Doesburg's music at myspace.com/JoostMaglev, which is JOOSTMAGLEV. Peter Flint is at Drumbucks, that's BUX, on Twitter. Andy is at OWZ62 on Twitter. And you can read Liam Barnes's journalism at mancunianmatters.co.uk. Again on Twitter, Herbert Raphael is at Herbert Bebetow, that's Bebetow. MJ Murphy blogs about music, guitar teaching and much more at twilightguitar.wordpress.com. Mark Toner is at ToneTweets on Twitter, and go to spacepilot.co.uk for his brilliant artwork. I'm not sure I have public contact details for Paul Caruana, but if you want to send me some, Paul, I'll add them to the show notes. And last but certainly not least, Ben Craven, the up-and-coming prog rock monster, is to be found at www.bencraven.com. So that's about it for this week and for 2011. It's been a fantastic journey so far, so please keep getting involved with the podcast at www.yesmusicpodcast.com. And just remember, whatever your progressive rock question in 2012, the answer is yes.